May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our salvation. Amen. Okay, seven times the review, the remember section. So there are I am statements in John, and there's about seven of them, although as a Bible study we'll find out next week, there's another potential I am in John, and we've noted that. But there's traditionally seven places where Jesus has said, I am. And when he says, I am, one thing he is saying is he is Creator God. It's clear in John chapter 1 that everything that was made through Jesus Christ. I am is that name of God, Yahweh, that was given to Moses and is throughout the Old Testament. Oftentimes it's Lord God and Lord, all capital letters in the Old Testament. And Jesus is Creator. And he has made all things were made through him. And when he speaks and he declares, he creates reality in us. So when we hear these I am statements, and when his disciples heard those I am statements, he is creating this truth, this reality, faith in us to know that he is our light. He is our shepherd. He is the door. Today, he is the true vine. We remember when God says something, it happens. Let there be light, there is light. And we have covered, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the door, I am the resurrection and the life, I am the good shepherd, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When I scheduled these out for Advent, Christmas, and today, New Year's Eve day, I saw that they just naturally fell into kind of themes of the day and things that are good to think about. It is very, very good to think about where we should abide, what we should hold to, cling on to as we exit 2023 going into 2024. Where is our foundation? Where is our life? Jesus said, I am the true vine. When he says true, it's the real McCoy, the thing that you want, the genuine one, the real one, the actual one. The one, and if it's true and it's actual, I was thinking about this, it's of eternity. It's the one that lasts forever. It's the forever vine. What can we cling to that remains the same no matter what? No matter war or rumors of war, no matter earthquakes, no matter politics and who's elected and whatever is going on, what do we cling to? We cling to the true vine, Jesus Christ, the genuine one. And that word abide, we have it as Christians and it's in our hymns and songs a lot. But I don't think we use it very often in our everyday language, English. It really means abide, remain, cling. Some English translations say, remain in me. Means cling to him as a branch clings to a vine. And that's what he's telling us. I am the vine. You have to remain and cling to me. Stay with me. That's where your life comes from. Another way to think about it and the truth of what he's telling us is to think of the opposite of that. Well, the opposite would be to separate off, to reject, to go another way, to give up on. That one hits home sometimes because the devil tempts we Christians to give up on Christ, to turn away from Christ because it's not going the way I think it should go. This thing is all falling apart. I'm going to give up on this. That's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, remain, cling to me, remain with him. And we see that this, he has called those, he attaches us to him. We saw that in the reading a little bit further down towards the end of it. You did not choose me, but I chose you. That is pure grace, pure gift. That we are abiding in him, that we are part of him, that he's our vine, and that we're clinging to him. And he says, now I put you here, stay here. If we don't abide, he gives us the freedom to sin, to lose faith, to go against him. He gives us the freedom to forget him, to reject him, even though he's our true vine and we need him. He gives us the freedom to separate ourselves. But you see, that's a decision we make. It's his decision to put us in, and he calls us to remain on him. But if we fall away in unbelief and disobedience, what does he say happens in the end? Then it's thrown away and God burns the withered branches. So he calls us to remain in him and stay in him. That's what we need. We need his true life, and as we remain in him, he's our true life giver. He's the source of our life, which has come up in the other I am statements. He's the source that we need. I am the life. We need life. We need Jesus Christ, and he's put us into him. And it's so remarkable in Christianity. It's not that you have done enough good works, now you're a part of Jesus. You have given enough gifts, now you're a part of Jesus. You have made the right decision, now you are a part of Jesus. No, I have chosen you. I have made you part of me. Remain in me and cling to me. How do we do that clinging? How do we do that remaining? I was thinking about this, and you could approach that question in many ways. But one of the very basic directions from Jesus at the end of Matthew, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all that I have commanded you. How do you make disciples? How do you remain disciples? Remain in our baptism, remain in his teachings. That is being a disciple, is to remain in him and everything he gives us and tells us. When we remain in him, he says there is this fruit. And in this section here, in this, he talks about love. And we know there's fruits of the Spirit in other places. But here he talks about this fundamental thing, love. And he says, love one another as I have loved you. As you remain and abide in me, love one another. And so we're loving the other branches, all attached to the vine. We're taking care of the plant. We're recognizing Jesus has many branches, not just me, not just Zion, but many branches are attached to him, and we love one another. So we're abiding in him, and we're following his commands, and we are his beloved friends. He says here in verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends. For all that I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you. That love that he's talking about here, we've talked about this in church and sermons and Bible class before, is agape love. That is the word here, the self-sacrificing love. We are his beloved friends. There's no way he will abandon us. There's no way he will let evil overtake us completely to be separated. If we remain and abide in him, through thick and thin, through good and evil, whatever's happening around us, as we remain and abide in him, we are his friends, and we love one another and take care of one another as he has loved us. This is the fruit that happens as we abide in him. He says, you do our commands. You know, if you admire somebody, if you have a sports hero or somebody in our society or community that you really regard highly, there's things that that person might do that we will want to imitate because we think they're special. We think they're worthy to be followed. We think that they set a good tone, that they set a good example, and we will follow them. Jesus, if you're my friends, if you're doing my commandments, you see, then we say, that's who we regard Jesus. It's not that the commandments, what we're doing, makes us worthy. It's that Jesus is worthy, and we're following him. And what we're saying to with our lives is that, and to the world, is that Jesus has set my reality and everything about me into eternity. My reality is what Jesus says it is, and I'm attached to him, and so I regard him, I love him, I follow him, I do what he's commanded. That reality is what, that faith, that reality, that relationship with Christ is what Satan attempts to break in us. Oh no, that's not really reality. Look what's happening in your life. Do this instead. Follow this idea instead. Follow this idea instead. Follow this idea instead. Don't worry about this reality. The same temptation right from the beginning. Did God say you should not eat of the fruit of the tree? That was the reality. But Jesus calls us to know and confess that he is our reality. We're following him. I said in a sermon where the way, the truth, and the life, I mentioned it. I hadn't thought of it before that sermon, but this is the way we Christians do it. We have that phrase. This is the way we do it. This is the way we Christians live because Jesus is my reality. And it doesn't matter what other ways are going on around us. This is the way we do it. Jesus is my reality. That is what we Christians are about. Towards the end of this reading, he talks about his father. And one of the things that we Christians do is call God our Father and regard him as our Heavenly Father and bring all things to him and all problems and concerns to him as our Father. That is a reality also that Jesus reveals to us, creates in us, asks us to abide in and remain in, that God is our Father. And so as we enter 2024, this is the reality Jesus has given to us, and he calls us to abide in that. And he creates that in us, that faith in us. If at times we slip, we lose faith, our faith grows weak, if at times in this coming year we have doubts about all this, remember that this is the reality Jesus always calls us back to. You repent and say, Jesus, I started looking somewhere else. I started following something else. But really, you're my reality. You're my life. And he always strengthens and takes us back. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to be our source of life, the true vine. We ask you to continue to build us up in faith. Give us a very firm connection to him every day. Keep us in your word. Let us know that in our baptism you have given us your Holy Spirit. All these things, Heavenly Father, we bring to you in the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.